Not content with your content? You've come to the right place. The Discontent Show with Joe Kuzma. Every brand starts with a story. Here's how you can grow your business by sharing it. Now, with today's topic, the host of The Discontent Show, Joe Kuzma.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Discontent Show. My name is Joe Kuzma, and today, as always, I have another important topic to speak about. But first, I wanted to welcome back any returning listeners. Welcome new listeners and hope you subscribe and stay tuned. Got lots of good stuff for you to recap a little bit of what's already been going on. Today, I'm going to talk about, I think, the most important pillar of what I call my five pillars of content marketing. But just to break down what is content marketing? Well, you may be doing it already if you have a blog. If you're listening to me, a podcast is another one of my pillars of content marketing, but definitely another important one in order to reach maybe new clients, maybe new customers, a whole new audience. Whatever it is that you're doing, you have a brand, you've invested in yourself, and you want to get word out more about yourself. Maybe you want to position yourself as an expert. Maybe you just want to share your experiences or tell a story or anything like that. You may already do these things. If you have Facebook, you have Twitter, you know, you're taking a picture of your food, your dinner on Instagram, you're sharing a story. And what better way to maybe talk about your hobby or your business, your company, your expertise, but to use any of these pillars, the five total pillars, of course, being blogging, podcasting, social media, email, and ebooks. Those two E1s at the end, they seem maybe a little intimidating. And that's something that I kind of want to talk about too, because I've been entertaining some questions, some feedback from the other shows. And there's something that I've been saying that I think I want to clarify just a little bit more. And if you heard my little gulp in my voice as I catch my breath, that's kind of what I mean by be good, not great. Because you won't even catch those things. You'll listen to the radio and you'll hear guys, gals, whatever, the host screw up all the time. But if you listen, even just listening to this podcast, everything's crystal clear. I don't have, at least at the for the time being, I don't have cats or dogs or anything making any noise, children. It's something that you could hear, something that is not disruptive to your ears. And even when you're blogging or doing anything else of that nature, you may not be the greatest writer in the world. When I'm even doing these recordings, I only have like a bullet list. You don't need a full script. You don't have to read everything verbatim. You don't have to be perfect. Trust me, I'm a perfectionist. I have OCD over certain little details. You got to be good. You got to be professional. You got to be consistent. Find the time to do what you need to do and do it right. Everybody wants to be the best of the that they can. But unless you get this ball rolling, you get moving. The whole Nike slogan that I'm always talking about, just do it. It trust me, it's going to start coming to you. You're going to get better. You're going to be sharper. And your good will be great. But this may not be your forte, so to speak. You may be an expert in a different line of work. You may be like a chef or, oh, I don't know, just any kind of services that you may provide. It may be as simple as working on like small engines. Maybe you repair lawnmowers or riding mowers or something to that effect. That is something that where you're going to be blogging or recording a podcast or posting to social media, it's going to take time out of your day. And you don't want to obsess over the smaller details. So when I say be good, not great, be great, but don't worry about being great. That's what I necessarily mean. Keep it simple. Simplify these things to make them easy so they come to you easy. And then it's secondhand nature. And it's not eating into your day. Because a lot of this, especially if you're brand new, you're going to be building these platforms for the very first time. This stuff doesn't already exist. So you're building your equity. And there's a lot of time. There's a lot of sweat equity, as I like to say, involved in this. So if you're, let's say, a book author, you don't want to be spending hours a day writing blogs when you should be writing a book. And that's kind of what I mean. And at least in the case of a book author, you know, they're naturally maybe a gifted writer. But a blog is always something that's a little more informal. And I want to talk about blogs today because you could get away with certain things and certain tools. And I usually tell anybody, pretty much if you have a website, a blog should be available for you. Even if it's one of those crappy, like, freebie websites, usually a blog or posting some type of updates is something that is available to each and every one. I think about 70% or better of the web right now, they're powered by WordPress. Almost every site, because, you know, I do web development myself. I am a social media manager myself. And I do the content management thing too, not only with this Discontent series, but I have a few other side projects as well, some more successful than others. And that all depends on the audience. I don't want you to get discouraged about not having all of these views or clicks or trust me, this is, for a lot of you, this is a side thing or a supplement to getting your information or yourself out there. So keep it simple. Don't obsess over the small details. Do them good. Do them well. I was always told that, and you could tell as being an English guy, I say well instead of good. Also teaching my little one the same thing. So if you go into and you want to start, well, here's the one thing. This is the reason it's pillar number one as far as a blog and blogging. And blog may sound like a dirty word, but really all it is almost like a journal or a diary. A blog could be anything from news to updates, informational, entertainment, whatever it may be. I think the reason it was web log is where the word actually comes from. And then it kind of like transcended into blog and blogging and bloggers. And since anybody can do it, literally, it kind of almost has like a negative or dirty connotation to it. But it shouldn't, because just because anybody can do it doesn't mean they can do it well. Now, where that falls in with you is you don't have to write 1,500, 2,000 word like articles or WordPress posts or if you have Blogger or anything of that nature. You don't have to obsess over how big or how long these articles are. But the one thing is that you should obsess over having a blog. It is my first pillar because it's necessary. I don't even ask whether or not you should have a blog. Now, when you get into some of these other things, there may be tools or maybe, you know, technical things where you need assistance with them. Pretty much with a blog, if you type something in Microsoft Word, save it, run the spell check and the grammar check, and have at least a peace of mind to reread what you wrote once over and make sure it kind of makes sense, you should be in pretty good shape. Now, there's certain things you could do with grammar. There's also grammar tools that are out there. There are many of them. Some of them are paid services as well. There's a lot of ads out there, for example, for Grammarly right now. I can't go on a YouTube video without seeing like I think it's like a 2-minute long clip too. And I'm like, really, for a grammar tool? That's because of how important content marketing has become. So just to get out there, just to share your story and put it out there, I say there are many reasons why you need a blog. And I mean, the biggest one is that it just comes right back to you. But I found like a list. I was curious just outside of my own bubble before I give you some tips and tricks as far as to actually operating a blog and making it the best it can be. I was on a website and it was LifeWire.com, and they had an article that was stated top reasons to start a blog. And I said, you know, these aren't too bad. And if you happen to come across one of these on Google and it would persuade you, this is almost like salesy, like you got to sell it to yourself. But it's not bad. So I wanted to review a few of these bullet points here that they had. It's to express your thoughts and opinions. Well, of course. Market or promote something. Absolutely. I mean, that's kind of, even though I'm telling you about content marketing, I am marketing and promoting that I do content marketing through this the same way. So, you know, it's twofold. And that goes into this third step that they had, which is help people. Because by marketing or promoting this, you're also gaining some valuable information from myself and my expertise. Because trust me, some of these things, I kind of roll my eyes when I see something that somebody could do on their own. And I see somebody charge an obscene amount of money for something you could use an iPhone app for. It drives me bonkers. Just, hey, you know what? You could do that. Now, not everyone can do everything. You got to know, even myself, you got to know your limits, when to delegate and get help. But there's a certain line here where you can help yourself. Okay. And that's where another one comes into play here. They say establish yourself as an expert, which is excellent because that's how you want, that's how you want people to view you. When somebody visits like a website, for example, you have a website, you have a business website. They kind of want to know, how do they know that you're reputable? I mean, this is almost like when I'm at the grocery store and I'm trying to, or let's just say, I'll get a good example is craft beer, because you have no idea what some of these smaller microbreweries are putting out. All you know is what's on the label. And you kind of know some of the ingredients if they tell you what style of beer it is, and maybe, you know, it's a coffee stout, so you know they used roasted coffee beans as part of the ingredients for the process. Okay, but how else do people get to know what's behind that label? Well, this blog, it can help establish you as an expert. So can podcasting and all the other pillars of content marketing. So that's a very big one. It helps you connect with other people like you, because if you're, everybody's like competitive, but I mean, the beer example is a great one because the brewers are all like a community and they all realize they do their different styles and there's enough market where they're not taking something from somebody else. It's not necessarily a slice of the pie, but how many pies are out there? And you're going to find that not everyone plays, you know, in the sandbox the same way. But for the most part, you're going to make some friends and network with people that you'd otherwise would never know. It just even from my own content marketing effort, with the sports blog and podcast that I run on the side as well. Just a tremendous team of people. In fact, some that even nudged me into doing this very own discontent project. So, I mean, it's just amazing the amount of people that you can meet and network with that you otherwise would not have been able to. And you could build a rapport. They could kind of get, people could kind of get a sense to know you. And all it takes is for you to sit down and write something and maybe, well, I'll get into content here in a second, but let's continue on the reasons why you need a blog. Make a difference. Now, this is something that I never really considered, but you may put yourself in a position to be an influencer, to have an opinion that matters, that people value. So it's always something to think about too when you're using a certain tone, formal, informal, also language. You know, you could make a difference. You just never know. Stay active or knowledgeable in a field or topic. This is actually great because even this right here, this very episode, I was doing research on what I would put in as the reasons why you need a blog. Well, this happens to be my forte, but if you're, let's go back to the chef, and maybe you're looking at recipes, you may discover something that you didn't know. You're always learning in your own field of expertise, and this will help you stay sharp. Stay connected with friends and family, quite possibly if they're interested in your topic. As I said, the other thing I run is a sports blog. Not everyone is a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, so I don't always stay connected with them in that way. Make money. This is something that is a possibility. I know people that make a lot of money, whether it be, you know, having paid ads, sponsorships on a blog, on a podcast, selling ebooks, things of that nature. Some people are even just affiliate sales. They work through other promoting other things. Like I want to say Blue Apron is one that comes off the top of my head. Look, couldn't say it. Blue Apron, they're the food people. I don't know how it really works. They send you dinners and stuff like that. But I'm not trying to promote them here because, you know what, I'm not an affiliate. Amazon does a lot of stuff like that too, where you could become an affiliate and you could post links with your stuff and you get a commission. You get a percentage off of it. But, you know, then you could get direct sponsorships, advertisers. You may get a lot of visits to your website. You may even put some ads on there. You never know. Your blog may overtake anything else that you may have thought or were doing. But I kind of like, you know, you don't always do things just because of the money. You do them because you want to have fun and be creative. And that's also another very good reason. I'm actually contemplating, been doing a lot of retro video games. I'm in my mid-30s, just in case you were wondering. I grew up with a Nintendo. I've been revisiting a lot of the original games like that and considering my own blog there, where I may meet new people and generate some interest. And you never know, that could make me money. But you know what else? It's also fun. You also get to be creative. And you could be creative, even if you're talking on something that could be a dry topic, just as this content marketing is that I'm talking about right now. So don't necessarily have to be wooden in everything you do, too. You could have fun. You could be creative with it, too. But the real big reason for me is, and this doesn't come from LifeWire. This is me right here. The reason why you need a blog tied to your website, tied to your business, tied to your brand, whatever it may be, is that it leads people back to you. You know, if you put things on a Facebook page or out on Twitter, it may not go any further than what those people see in a tweet. But if you have a link there and it goes back to a website, now some people, they're only going to read headlines. They're only going to read titles. I'm going to catch on that here in a second. But hopefully your website is designed in such a way that it's easy to contact you should they feel compelled to purchase a service or any goods or network with you or whatever it may be. Maybe you're even on a consulting basis. You know, you work freelance, you do things on the side, whatever it may be that it is. Much in the same way, if you go back to my own site, joekuzma.com, you'll notice that there's contact information front and center. There's ways to connect with me on social media. People may even message you through those channels, but it all leads back to your website. A lot of times people, the biggest reason for even having a website sometimes is it's like your online business card. It has your address. It has your maybe an email on it or a contact form. I hate putting emails on a website. You won't find it on mine. Just too much spam. Those robots, they crawl it. So if you take a tip off of that for the website thing, try or just come up with a second email that you could allow yourself to get lots of junk mail in, because you're going to sift through a lot of that stuff and it's going to be garbage. But you want people to be able to come back to your site, because hopefully your site has a well-formed call to action or a pitch or whatever it may be. Maybe there's other information that they click on and they start to, you know, nose around and find out other things. So it's always good, maybe other blog posts and see what other kind of information that you have. So that's the number one reason. And of course, when you're writing these fabulous blog posts that you're going to be putting out, it helps you get found by Google, Yahoo, Bing. They're out there too. But this is all part of just amplifying your message and getting your brand and your name out there. It is SEO or search engine optimization. So the biggest part of that is usually a title or a headline. You want something that's catchy. You want something that somebody would probably click on and want to read. When you do things like lists, like 10 things that you should avoid with blah, 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 those are always great. The only problem is like if you put, and I'm guilty of this, but sometimes you need to put a question because maybe you're answering a question. You have a solution to a problem. Some people are just going to answer it right on Facebook. If you post it out there, they're going to put in the comment section without ever reading. You can't help that. And not everybody lives online either. So you got to remember that, you know, they only have like a limited amount of time. Some people will just keep scrolling. Don't let any of these things discourage you from doing the content marketing, because those who are truly interested, they will follow, and they will follow things that are good content. Remember that word good. Anything good, good or greater. I'm going to start saying good or greater instead of great. Good or greater. That works too. But you don't want to be clickbait. You don't want to be the fake news that's out there. You want something that sounds somewhat like real, you know, intelligent, like an expert type, straight to the point collection of words that gets your attention. Okay. A lot of people put photos with their blog posts as well. You got to be real careful with this, because you do not want to get a letter from some big image house like a Corbis or a Getty Images or somebody like that that will just ask you to pay $1,300 because you use something without purchasing a license for using a photo. So while there's plenty of pretty photos just by searching on Google Images, don't do it. Where do you get photos? That's going to be something in the near future I'm going to cover, but there are plenty of places you want to look for. Royalty-free images is the buzzword or the long tail search term that you want to use. If you don't know what long tail means, if you just put in, like, if you were looking for, I don't know, a photo of a cat for a blog post because you were maybe blogging about pets, you just don't put in like cat photo into Google. You want to put in royalty free, or they also have like a little button you could click, and there's tools and it'll say labeled for use, reuse. There's Creative Commons licenses. Flickr is a good place. There are several other, if you look up royalty free stock images, because stock is usually what's used. In this case, you're really doing something that's like editorial, because it's an opinion. That's what an editorial is. And blogging is definitely opinionated. There's a lot of facts that you could have in there one way or the other. But when it comes down to it, you're not looking to literally purchase some photo. Like you're just like a giant newspaper or magazine or something of that nature. So this could be a point of contention here, because if you're a photographer, you wouldn't want somebody just kind of stealing your work. And you're going to find that you don't want to necessarily plagiarize what somebody else writes and just paste it right in. You're going to want to quote it. You could put it italicized or in quotes, and you're going to want to link back to it or give credit to the author, give credit to a photographer if they ask for it as part of a Creative Commons or a free license to use a photo there. Your body content, of course, like I said, you're probably going to use some words that pertain to your expertise, your industry, your business. That helps your SEO. Another thing that will help too is if you refer to like something, let's say you have a quote that you pulled from another article, or there's some other story or some happening or event or something that's going on that pertains to your kind of derivative work or your blog post, and you're mentioning it, and it's like, well, you could refer to, you know, I don't know, USA Today posted this, and you can make that a link back to USA Today, because those bigger websites, they're not going to really pay attention to you, because we're all the little guys here. It'll help pull you out of the depths of not being found on Google, because the way Google looks at some of these things, it's a robot. It looks and makes sure, but by all means, don't make everything bold and italics. Don't make everything in headings. You need paragraphs. You need everything to look like you're kind of reading a book, something that's, I don't know, professionally put together. Like I said, again, perfection, go 80% of the way there. Don't obsess over the little details. But you want it to look just proper, because then Google also realizes that this is something that kind of flows, and you're not just filling it with keywords just for the sake of trying to shoot up to the first page in the search results. It will not work. They actually call that black hat SEO, and it's a big no-no from Google or any of the bigger search engines. Any good blog, it should include ways to reach, follow, or contact you. If you already have like kind of a website template and those things are already built in to your website, that's probably all the more you need. But it doesn't hurt to maybe close your blog with, hey, don't forget, you know, you could follow me on Twitter here, or you could email me here, or click on the contact page. And you could usually make a link if you're using like a WordPress site, for example. It's very easy to make that link to your contact page so people can get back in touch with you. So one thing I did want to leave you off with, though, is, you know, maybe you're not ready for this. Is going to be way too long of a show if I get into the topics, but something to just kind of get your engines started here as you consider all of these different reasons why you must have a blog, and some of the ways to construct your blog post and why it will benefit you. The actual three things you should like gear yourself towards, and I learned this, and I'm not sure if this was taken from somebody else, but this was another marketing person that I work with. Definitely, he told me this many years ago, and it stuck with me. And there's three things here. It's to educate. So if you write something, you're either educating someone, you're being informational. So inform could just be as simple as, hey, we have an event coming up on Saturday, whatever, okay, August 14th. And you want to inform and let everybody know that this event's going on. A little different than just educating someone on a potential solution to a question or answering a question. The other reason is just entertain. Maybe you just want to be silly, just want to be funny. Maybe it's a little comedic. Maybe it's a little lighthearted. Entertainment's not bad. Depending on how professional, how much integrity, et cetera, is involved, you might not want to dig too deep into the entertainment realm. So Thanks again for joining me. If you have any questions, feel free, of course, to visit the website, joekuzma.com, or you could, I'll actually tell you my email here. It's hellojoe@joekuzma.com. I don't think that's in the sign-off that's about to run here, but in case that it isn't, this way you can even use that 15-second skip back on your podcast app, catch it again, hellojoe@joekuzma.com. Shoot me some questions. I look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, be safe, be good, and I will catch you later. Hi, folks. This is Joe Kuzma. No, don't worry. You're not hearing things twice. I'm just here to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you for listening to today's show and being a follower and subscriber of the Discontent Podcast. And I want to remind you that if you're interested in more information about all the various things it is that I do, whether it be about this show, content marketing, or you want to ask a question, you may visit me at joekuzma.com. That's joekuzma.com. Or you can follow me as well on Facebook. Make sure you get the page and not the personal profile. Sorry, it's only for friends and family. Also on Twitter at @joe_kuzma, LinkedIn, or Instagram. Also, don't forget, if you haven't already, subscribe, whether that be on iTunes, YouTube, or your favorite podcast provider, so you don't miss out on any of the great episodes that we have. Once again, thank you again for your support, and I look forward, as always, to speaking and interacting with each of you again soon.